Is that a deciding factor for you when dating somebody?
Absolutely.
Potential money? For money.
Well, we can't be poor and have two kids at home. I will say that.
That or four kids.
No, I'm doing it just fine.
Is so. It? Okay. So oh, there's...
but if you were single and you had to choose at this point in your life, if you had two kids, yeah, different.
The potential for money needs to be there. I can't like walk into a situation where it's like
Taco Bell.
Right.
Shit.
So Kanye has this quote that goes like,
yes. Okay. Tell me everything.
Having money isn't. Having money isn't everything, but not having money is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel. Like, it's not everything, but we can't have zero money because, like, there's shit that we're gonna, like, wanna do. There's shit I wanna do. Yeah. So, like.
Fucking Kanye.
He's fucking wise, man.
That's right. That's right.
We can say a lot about Kanye, and I don't wanna have that conversation, but that fucking quote, him and J. Cole. It's been truth.
You know what else Kanye said?
No. What are you going to say?
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
God damn it. Are you reading it from your phone?
From the wise words of Kanye West.
Okay, cool. Well, I say we get this podcast episode off.
What's your favorite Kanye quote?
I'm pretty sure I don't have one.
I'm not like the biggest Kanye fan.
I think this is a cold open right here.
Is it? Yes, I'm into it.
We're here already.
Yeah, Kanye's not it for me. I don't really feel like I've like. It's not like I haven't listened to Kanye because I've heard songs, but it's not like I've gone out of my way to like listen to Kanye.
Well, he's
that was
a creative
the first concert
genius.
I ever went to.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kanye, wow. Rihanna.
Okay, I would see Rihanna. I would like sell
Lupe
my left
Fiasco.
Arm to go see Rihanna.
Oh, wow. I like Lupe Fiasco.
And this was pre like assault days, so Chris Rock.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. Oh, yeah. No.
He was like a surprise guest appearance. It was fucking dope.
Chris Brown used to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then
no,
he was
back
really
in the heyday, and then
awesome.
It was right. Like, oh, wait. Oh no.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Baby boy, what did you do?
Mm-hmm. One of the first canceled people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was.
BB.
Yeah, we can't abuse Riri. Canceled.
No. Mm-mm. Rihanna?
Not Robin.
Rihanna? Rihanna. This Rihanna. Is going around, right?
What?
Just maybe in the white community. We've always known it's Rihanna.
Yeah. Well, who says Rihanna?
I thought there was a pronunciation thing like last year at the awards.
Are you taking, like... are you talking about the Fleetwood Mac song Rihanna? Are you talking about Stevie Nicks? What are you talking about?
I'll look it up. Hold
that is a very different human individual.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about?
What?
So I was trolling.
Oh, pff, big shock
typical.
There.
I was about to say I don't do that very often. But
guys are okay
I saw too. Our friend Logan responded that he...
What?
Is interested.
And the Spice Girls reunion tour? Who's not?
Oh, that's really like, more on behalf of my wife.
Were you going to invite anyone else, Logan?
Oh, girl. You cannot even.
I
we can't even
go.
Talk about the Spice Girls right now
go.
Because the way that they had a chokehold on my childhood.
Mine too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel like every black girl wanted to be Scary Spice.
I mean, you didn't really have.
I wanted to be Scary Spice.
We had
Spice.
No choice. We were told.
There is one person of color in that entire lineup. So, like, who else are you going to be? Baby Spice?
Hell no. Your white friends would have been pissed.
Okay, so I have looked up the pronunciation, but I want Sarah to do it because I want to know. I just...
Oh, no.
I think it needs to be you that determines what the actual correct pronunciation is.
Well, I think
room.
It's Rihanna.
Okay. Great. I'm the internet tells me that I'm wrong in doing that and that it's Rihanna, but... It does, the internet's very white, so I don't know.
The internet is controlled by...
Yeah.
But
you're going to let Google
it.
Tell you the wrong answer?
I think we should just call her.
You know what? How about Robin?
Yeah.
How about that? That's her name. Robin.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-mm.
No, you don't like that?
No, I think
like,
we should
who
call
goes
her.
Around calling celebrities by their actual name as opposed to like their celebrity name?
Me.
Not me.
I no. do. Because I know these people.
But then nobody's... Okay.
Just like Kimberly Noel right. Kardashian.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay.
The middle name, though.
It's like a punishment.
I love
like
her
in trouble.
So much.
My brain just died.
Rhiannon is a great song.
Yeah, it really is.
It is a good one.
That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I karaoke'd it not long ago.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Without me?
Box. Yep. Oh. But our karaoke song came on the other day, and I pointed it out to Tamara.
She did do that
when you did your when you did your show.
All Alone. That one. Yep.
Yeah. You have to explain it now.
So I was asked to be a guest on the karaoke show at Mirrorbox.
Yes.
And literally no one went. Besides me and my family.
Nobody came.
So you performed karaoke for your family? Not one person.
Yes, we karaoke'd for 3 hours with Kaven. Yep.
God bless Kaven.
That sounds like fun.
It was actually really fun because Cynthia came and the kids. So everyone was singing Barbie, Bohemian Rhapsody, Fleetwood Mac. There was like some country. Yeah, God bless Kaven. I don't know. Mariah sang some like... Maybe it wasn't country, but it sounded country-ish to me.
Okay,
like so there was literally nobody else at the karaoke besides my family. You, your family, and Cynthia.
And Kaven. Yes.
Yeah, and Kaven. Cute.
Yes. So that was a big waste of money because I don't even know if we drank.
Why was it a waste of money? You paid for
it? Well, like, no, for Mirrorbox.
Yeah, it was supposed to be an event, a public event that would have brought in money for the business.
They also usually do like 2 or 3 people on these shows, and you were the only one.
I was the only one. I don't know where the fuck everyone else was. And I've been there, and there has been people. So I was like, wow, how is it that not one, which was okay, but.
And I messaged you. I said that I couldn't make it.
Well,
where were you, Caleb?
Caleb was
probably
eating with Marie.
Working.
That's true. You usually work at those times.
How long did you wait until you decided?
It was pretty obvious that literally no one was going to show up.
Like 10 minutes. You're like, maybe they're just late.
No, no one was late. It was fine.
Would you do it again?
I don't know
if it was not just you, if it was like more of a structured thing,
maybe. But I'm such an emo. I was telling a story about you and I started crying and I was like, oh my god, I if there would have been other people there, I wouldn't have been able to like get through the story.
Oh my god,
because it was about, it was Halloween and it was called like It's a Spooky Thing was the theme. So I was talking about vulnerability because that is like the scariest thing for me, and I was talking about how we met and yoga teacher training. Oh my god, am I gonna cry now?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, and that, you know, well, you know, when we had to do introductions and all that shit, and then we were just forced together, and thank god I was vulnerable because now I have a best friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god, you guys. Okay, let's record the podcast now. Hello, listeners.
Hello, darling.
We're back.
We're here.
Yeah, we are.
And we're in your earbuds or on your radio or your stereo, whatever it is that you use.
Whatever holes are open and ready to receive our vibrations.
It was so sincere and authentic in this room.
We had to break it up a little bit.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was getting too feelsy. Throw in some innuendo. It got too touchy-feelsy.
It did. Yeah. It really did.
And I was feeling those feelings.
Were you?
I was.
Mm.
The feelings were tingling, you know.
It was a lot.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast, where you never know what the fuck we're going to say.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry about your daughter.
To clarify for the listener, because I'm totally serious, I'm gonna keep everything in pretty much from Kanye onward.
Oh, oh beautiful. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so
oh,
so
beautiful.
This podcast has been running for like almost 15 minutes.
Oh my god, I love this.
Kanye. I love
here
that.
We are. Yeah, and do you know what? There's no better place to start, to be honest.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We should start and end with Kanye. Always.
Why not? Absolutely.
always.
So for our listeners who don't know, we are joined in the room by our lovely friend Tamara Marcus.
Dr. Tamara Marcus.
Doctor.
Put some respect on
Absolutely.
Her name.
Absolutely. She's some just respect. Finished her doctorate.
Come on down, Ooh, Dr. Marcus.
Yes.
Be careful.
This is a big step there.
Don't you? Oh.
But oh.
I'm just.
Saying, there she goes. I'm already- Security, help her up.
Oh.
It is such a blessing to have you here, Tamara. It really is. And I feel
Thank
like
you.
Sarah and I have talked about having you on this podcast for literally like the beginning of the podcast. I
yeah,
feel like.
53 episodes ago.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
It is. And we're finally getting you in here.
I know. Thank you. What? I've seen like 20% or listened to like 20% of them.
Less than 20%.
Less than, yes. Less
close,
than.
Close to.
Right. We'll,
we're not
we'll
rounding.
We'll call it an even
we're...
20. It's fine.
Thank you.
You've been gone for a while, so I'll let a couple
if
episodes
you guys, like,
slide.
Covered like a true crime murder or something, I would probably.
You don't even know what we talk
okay,
about.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Go commit a murder 80%. And then I can cover it.
There you go.
I'll think about that one.
Accountability. Yeah. It's not all what we can do for you.
That's true. That's
How can
true.
You help our podcast?
Right. What can you do for our podcast?
So you want me to murder? So, just
I mean,
to be clear.
I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying it's an option.
Okay, noted.
One of my favorite things actually is like, there's this thing that happens in gay culture, right? But there's like a meme where like, it's based on a like historical something, but it says, be gay, do crimes. And it's like, yeah, get out there, queers. Be gay, do crimes.
Word.
And I feel like I want to get that tattooed like on my chest, you know?
Like yeah. right in the center.
Right.
Okay. So kind of like
right underneath
superhero.
The no regrets. You
yes.
Know.
Yeah. You have a no regrets?
No.
Oh, I was like, that, you can
I
pull it off.
I've seen
though.
You without your
you.
Shirt. It's like that Snickers
can we,
commercial.
Though?
Yes. Yeah.
I would love.
Can we
Caleb
just like
would...
check though, Caleb? Can you confirm that you have a no regrets tattoo?
No, I cannot. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Why don't you All show right. us your cool tattoo?
Yeah.
Which one?
In your mouth.
Okay.
What? Wow. Wait, what does it say?
Can you read it?
No, hold on.
Get in there.
Get in there.
This
Get
is
in
an audio
mouth.
Format.
Bitchin'.
Yeah.
Bitchin'.
It says bitchin'.
It's what Dr. Marcus has on the inside of her mouth.
That is fucking fabulous,
bitchin'?
Actually.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It's bitchin'.
Thank you.
When did you get that done? Now I need to know everything about this experience.
I got it like 3 days after my 18th birthday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said it was going to go away in like 10 years, but... I mean, I'm close to the 10-year mark of when I got it done.
You're over the 10-year mark. Thank
by like,
you.
By like a hair. By
right.
like a hair.
By like a, yeah, a couple weeks.
But anyway, it's still in there. So
yeah, it's still yeah. there. It's still bitching.
It's still bitching.
And so are you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I went to like a Playtime Poppy play after.
What?
Isn't that random? Do you guys remember Playtime Poppy?
No, yes. I have no idea what you're
still
talking about.
Caleb didn't grow up here.
It's still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Playtime what? Poppy was a happy little ear of corn.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
The gayest little ear of corn.
This is the most Iowa thing I've ever heard, and this is so horrendous.
And he did musical theater.
Oh, my God.
For the kids.
It was good, though. They were good.
Which oh. homosexual okayed that? That is so wrong.
They were like the best performances in Cedar Rapids before TCR was a thing.
Oh, honey.
Isn't that cute?
No,
yeah.
I don't like it. Get it out of my face.
That's what I'm going to be for Halloween this year.
Do you know what? This reminds me of a Fran Lebowitz bit where she's talking about how the AIDS crisis was such a devastating thing because all of the tastemakers in the United States died because all the tastemakers were gay. And so when I think about that, I think about this, you know, bad taste, Playtime Poppy. And I'm like, which homosexual, you know, okayed that?
Made it
because
through.
It was not tasteful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting.
We're in a dark time.
It is. And it reminds me. Okay. So I just got back from traveling.
Yeah.
And so I was
You've been abroad.
I was abroad.
Tell
okay,
us where.
I'm
actually.
Sorry. I'm going to have to interrupt.
Why? Oh.
Because for people that don't know you and haven't been with you in this room,
okay,
can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Tamara Marcus?
That's a great place to start.
Why are you one of the most important people to know in our beloved community?
Can I have a beer? That was like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want some?
Yeah, can I have a beer?
Yeah. What kind of beer do you want?
Like an Easy Eddie would be good. That was like a big question. I just feel like I need something to settle.
That's the kind of afternoon we're having today.
The expectations. Yeah,
that's the kind of conversation we're about to dive into.
Yeah, no.
It's just who she is.
Well, yeah, she's a big deal.
She's bitching.
She's bitching.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I guess I'm from here, so that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how
said
many?
No one ever.
Well, thank you. That's actually very fair.
Yeah. That was really savage of me to say. I'm so sorry to Iowa, but.
No, I feel like that's so fair. Like, how there's so many young people who want to leave where they're from because there's this idea that some other place, like, has the thing that you're missing.
Sure, the grass is greener.
Exactly.
Somewhere else.
Exactly. And then also, like, not even just that, but, like, you can't be who you want to be here.
Here, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I definitely felt that when I was growing up here. That's why I did basically everything I could to freaking leave.
Yeah.
And I joke about it, but it's 100% true. Like, it took a whole global pandemic for me to come back to Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
So you grew up here, and then what? You left to go to college?
I did. I applied. I really wanted to go to Portland. Yeah, but
you give off Portland vibes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. And I got to like intern there for a little bit, which was cool, but it was just so expensive, and I put myself through college, so I ended up going to the University of Minnesota. And I took a year off, moved to India between my sophomore and junior year, started my climate research in the Indian Himalaya. And that was really fucking cool because it was like the first time I felt like I had so much agency over not only my like life and day to day, but the work I was doing. And it felt like that was actually the point where I was on the like right path, so to speak, of something.
Would you say that's like the pivotal moment in your life that kind of like...
I think there's so many. There's so many inflection points in people's lives.
Sure.
You know, that was certainly one of them, though, definitely.
But you think that, like, potentially, like, leaving Iowa was, like, started you on this path to, like, kind of getting to that point, you think, in some way? Or like...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. And I think about that, too, because, like, I could have gone to University of Iowa, and I think, like, I had full rides there. And so I think if I had done that, I wouldn't have had any student loans. And so, you know, student loans are incredibly oppressive.
Yes, they are.
You make...
They are heavy.
Yeah, like it's what a heavy decision burden to bear. In your adult life, in your young adult life, are you not making with that, like,
right
in the background?
That may be paying these off for the next 50
the rest
years
of your life. Yep. Right.
Well, I think they have to let you, like, forgive them at 30 years. So I guess
30 years.
Yeah, there you go. So by the time you're 53.
Right, I was about to say, by the time you're in your 50s, you can have that forgiven, but Jesus.
Right, so, yeah, so what... What was the question?
So you were in the
Who
Himalayas.
Who are you?
Yeah. Who am I?
Right. How did you get here?
So you came back during the pandemic.
I came back during the pandemic.
But you finished your schooling in Minnesota or no?
I did finish the schooling and then I went back to India. I did.
Okay.
So I went back as a Fulbright scholar and I actually studied Hindi for about a year. To try and translate my research into a local language. Because I was very, like, extractive what I was doing. And I'm very open about that because I feel like you have to acknowledge the fucked up processes that you're doing if you're going to do anything different and better.
What do you mean by extractive?
What I mean was that I was a non-Indian scientist traveling not only to another country but another region from where I was based, going in with my research questions, taking the samples, like literally extracting water samples, sediment samples from these locations, going back to the lab and then analyzing the samples there and writing research papers that were then mostly being presented in the US.
Right. Okay.
There's a lot of extractive pieces to that process, to the scientific process. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what you're trained to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was trained to do. That's how I was trained to do the scientific method. So when I went back, I was very intentional about trying to do something that was more than benefiting just what I was interested in. Mm-hmm. So I spent a significant amount of time, I mean, obviously learning the language, but then actually when I was in the sites where I was doing research, spending time talking, like just existing in the community, mm-hmm. kind of like honestly what I feel like I do here sometimes, right? Just like seeing when there's an event, going and trying to like meet new people.
I love treating being in Cedar Rapids like a research process.
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, that's a great question. I feel like that's a whole deep thing that we could dive into, too.
But. Right? I mean, even the relationship stuff. That's
sure.
That's a research process.
My relationship stuff? Yeah, that's fun.
So yeah, when I went back as a Fulbright Fellow, I feel like I was stumbling around, to be perfectly honest, because, again, scientists aren't really trained to do that kind of outreach.
Sure.
They're trained to, like, do data-driven research.
Well, like, how old are you? Like, 23?
23.
Yeah. You're mm-hmm. still a baby child at that time.
I know. I was so crazy.
Yeah.
I remember hiking up, and I was, like, exhausted, and this small little kid who could hike circles around me was, like, I asked him if I could stop here, and he was like, no, you can't stop. And I'm like, why can't I stop? I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Like...
Do you know bears? I'm like, yeah, I know bears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to keep moving.
Pretty motivating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I did that. I decided to get a PhD because what the fuck else do you do when you graduate with a biochem and English degree? You go to grad school,
yeah,
I guess.
Right.
Which is not a good reason, I would say, to go to grad school. I hear you're exploring some... potential.
I've been accepted into Woo! Grad school. Woo! Yes.
Sorry, did I like share your good news? I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
No, I mean, you're fine though. I mean, like, I don't know if I had or hadn't yet.
You hadn't.
I had not. No. Yeah. So I'm officially a part of the 2024 to 2025 cohort for the LMFT program at Mount Mercy University.
Yes.
To get my license in marriage and family therapy.
Yes. Bitch.
Yes.
We're so excited.
So doing in grad school. Thank you. It feels like a huge undertaking though, grad school, because I haven't been in school in like 12 years.
Fair.
And so I'm like, you know, I'm grateful for the life experience that I have at this point.
For sure.
You know, because I feel like I actually have, you know, the direction, like, okay, what is it that Caleb wants to do, you
yeah,
know, with his
yeah.
work, with his life, you mm-hmm. know, with his time.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels like very in line with my values. But the idea of going back to school and taking classes and the kind of work that I'll be doing, it feels really overwhelming.
I get that. Mm. I get that. And it's, I mean, at least you're aware that that's
yeah.
there. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that, because it is, I don't know, to me that was common.
Yeah.
Right. Of just like, I don't know if I can like do this, right? Mm. It's a lot of work to like stay committed for that long of time, even if you know your why.
Right.
And I think you have what I didn't, and I'm so excited for you because of it. Like, you know your why. You have a strong understanding yeah. of what you're doing. Whereas, like I said, when I went, I was like, I have a BS degree in sciences.
Right. Might as well go get my doctorate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I think, I don't know, like that kind of direction... I think it's going to be so helpful for you to like, as it's like, honestly, shitty, tough, all of the other things, like you're going to remember why you're doing it in the first place, which like how many undergrads have that? Right. Like
yeah.
you just don't have that.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of kids go into school because they're told that they need to.
Exactly.
Right. And I think, you know, especially when you get a degree like an undergraduate degree in like biochemistry, like usually that's just like a starting point to start a career in, you know, one of these fields.
Pre-med.
Yeah. Or, you know, more data Pre-farm. Research, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much of other like there's always just another thing attacked on top of it.
Right.
Like grad school is typically what you will go into.
Right.
So it just like it's a continuation. Like you feel like you should go to school because that's what people do. And then now that I did this degree, I feel like I needed to do more school because that's what people do after they get this degree.
Yep.
So I mean that makes sense that you went through that though, that process.
It does. It's just really unfortunate because I feel like so many people like go to, and myself included, like I'm not separate from this at all. They go and to school, they do these things because they feel like they should.
Yeah.
And they're not asking questions of like, what am I excited about contributing to the world? Like, what is my gift
What's
to
my
share?
Why?
Yeah. And like, what is the thing that I'm good at? What are the things that I'm good at?
Well,
and what do I want to work on?
As a person who, like, you know, went through college, got my undergraduate degree at 23, I still had no idea what the hell I was good at, you know, like, or what it is that I wanted to do. So that feels very fascinating to me.
Yeah. But look at you now. Now you know.
Look at me now. Look at me, Sarah.
I know. You're awesome.
Oh, you're awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, getting back to your story.
Oh, yeah. Grad school, that was awful. No, I mean...
Let's be honest.
Honestly, I hated where I was. I liked the research I was doing, but I was living in New Hampshire, and it was just so beautiful. Like, nature is beautiful. Let me start with something positive. I'll do a shit sandwich. Nature's beautiful. It's like super old and conservative. White. And
yeah, she said,
and white. And she said,
that's what she said.
White. Yeah.
And then let's see. Positive on the shit sandwich. Ooh, good oysters. Good
Hell
oysters.
Yeah. I mean, sign me up. I love oysters.
Yeah. So as long as you can deal with the old conservative and whiteness, then you're good.
Just eat the oysters.
Right.
There's not enough oysters in the world for me to ignore that, unfortunately.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to make a really tough decision kind of midway through my program if I was going to master out or if I was going to talk to my advisor about finishing remotely. And so this was like pre-COVID.
What do you mean by master out?
So
like just stop at your master's and not continuing on to your doctor's. Okay, got it.
Yep. You advance to like a certain level within your program. So then it's actually really nice, for at least for me, because then I was like, all right, if I fail my program, at least I leave with a master's. Which
sure.
After putting that much work in is nice. But yeah, I had to talk to my advisor and basically say, love you, love the work, can't stay here in this environment. Mm. And so... ended up being fully remote for about a year and a half until the pandemic. And so then came back to Cedar Rapids and was living in my parents' basement for about 6 months.
Academia is such an interesting place, especially for, you know, and this is something we talked about recently too, is for people of color, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a place like New Hampshire.
I literally do not think that there's been one black woman who's graduated from my program. And I'm trying to track, like to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they actually don't track that. I'm a big data person, right? Like that's like all kinds of data, climate data, social justice data. I fucking love numbers. And so, you know, I think it's interesting to me what people, if you say you care about increasing representation in numbers, well, how do you measure impact? You have to track that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not tracking it, meanwhile, you're saying, hey, we care about DEI.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to like have a lot of confidence in that, because what are you using to measure how these new policies, programs, investments are actually changing those numbers?
Right. Mm-hmm. What's the tangible difference?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So when you came back during the pandemic, what was your life like? What were you doing?
Oh, I was working at Boulder Tap House, which...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that restaurant is now. It's either an Irish... Most recently, it was an Irish place in the mall, in Lindell Mall. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't go over there. I don't go to the mall. Yeah, what am I, like, 14? Please.
Do 14-year-olds even go to the mall
anymore? I don't even think teenagers are allowed to be at the mall.
They're not allowed it anymore. Good.
Now you can go, I guess.
Right.
You're not allowed unsupervised under a certain age.
They do have pretzel maker, though. I really do like pretzel maker.
They have a drive-thru also on Blair's Ferry Road.
What?
Yes.
Okay. What? Wait, what?
Yes, guys, because I notice when I go to Crumble and to the bank, it's in that same little area.
Good
what?
To know.
Yeah.
I don't have to embarrass myself by walking into the mall to get pretzels anymore.
Game changing.
Go through the drive-up. Get in and get out.
Wear my sweatpants. Get my pretzel bites. That's what I'm trying to do with dating right now, is get in and get out. You know what I mean? Just a little in and out action. You know, just a little.
You know.
That's the exact opposite of what you're trying to do.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm bobbing for apples. You know what I mean? I just want to get my head in there, splash, splash around a little bit, and come back out with a nice shiny apple.
There you go.
In my teeth.
Yesterday's pre-meeting.
Stop staring at me.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that this time we spent together yesterday to prepare for this episode seems to just, you know, have been totally unnecessary at this point.
Away. Why? I don't know. I feel like we're having a great conversation about Tamara's history.
Yeah.
And Pretzel Maker.
Yes. And equally as important. Yes.
And Kanye.
This
and
is what we
karaoke.
Do on the other podcast, all right? Get ready for it all.
But there's like my story woven in between those topical discussions.
I have a... I'm trying to get to like...
The meat.
Yeah. ASJ. So when you were home... For those that don't know, Dr. Tamara Marcus is one of the co-founders of Advocates for Social Justice here in Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
Which did a lot of work during the 2020 pandemic time. So from the depths and darkness of her parents' basement, a light shone in young Tamara's
while working
mind.
At Boulder Tap Room.
I mean, yes. Like, trust me, they are connected.
Yeah.
When you, sorry.
No, that was it. No. I just wanted to get
that
us
was
to
the prompt.
That point.
I know,
that was my
that,
segue.
That was like a really good introduction. I feel like I wanted to see like the end of it, but that's okay. Fine.
The end is you.
Okay.
Beginning.
So yeah, so picture this. What? I must have been like 28. 28-year-old Tam gets back to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, literally from Japan. Has like spent the last year and a half doing really whatever the fuck she wants to. I mean, still doing work, but like... Where I want, when I want, like just total agency over my life. Back in my parents' dingy basement.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
On the northeast side.
On the northeast side.
Oh.
Right? Without a car. And again, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yeah, not doable.
Working at Boulder Tap House with my little polo and my little apron.
Oh, girl, I'm so sorry.
I know. Like, tragic.
Yeah, this is like the beginning of like the Hallmark movie. Right? You know, like that's what's happening.
When we know there's
like,
something
how
better
bleak
out there
can
for
we get
our...
this girl's story
yeah.
to go?
Can only go up from here.
And boy, did it.
This is rock bottom for Tamara. Okay, got it.
What have I done to get to this point in my
life?
Oh,
no.
And I remember I got home from work one day, and it was like 3 days after the murder of George Floyd. And I remember like seeing like a link to like a protest at the police department. And I just like I got home, I saw it, and I was like, I'm fucking going. And my mom was like, should you be going? Like, is it safe? And I was like, I don't fucking care. Cause like
it was a very emotional, angering time. For I know all people, but especially for the Black community.
I feel like you were ready to lay down in the street.
Yes, you were ready to fucking fight somebody over an extra blank.
Yeah.
Like, tensions were just super high at the time.
Well, and it wasn't like, for me, it wasn't outwardly violent. It was like like martyrdom almost, which I don't condone. Like, I don't think that's a good structure.
We shouldn't need martyrs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's like to the point where it was. And I think definitely, I mean, like being back here in that circumstance certainly contributed because it's like, this again, like I felt like I had worked so hard to get to the place I was that it's like now I'm literally just like smacked back down here in all of this shit.
In the United States where this shit happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what? That was when Trump was still president, right? Like that was the end of his presidency. Mm-hmm. So like again, there's a reason why I was working abroad. I called it academic asylum.
Yeah.
Because I'm a climate scientist working in the U.S. when, you know, within the first like year, he pulls us out of the Paris Agreement. Like, yeah. So, yeah, it was like I don't care, Mom. I'm sacrificing my body for the cause. And so, yeah, I went to that first protest. I just kind of observed. I think I'd been to like one other protest in my life. It was an Occupy Wall Street protest way back in the day.
That's a throwback.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was actually a cool protest, though. I have a sign that says, like, fuck war. So cool.
I love this for you. You are a dream come true. So you went to your like second ever protest.
So I went to my second ever protest. Shit was getting wild. And I saw it was, I mean, it was fine. But like Sarah said, people were heated. Like, it's hard to keep when it builds to that level, right? Like, it's hard to suppress that. It's hard mm-hmm. to like try and like quell that. Quell's the right word, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's good, right? Yeah.
Oh my God, you sound like a doctor.
Oh my God, thank you.
He must have a PhD or something.
So there was a bigger protest being planned, actually, and it's just started as a Facebook event, and I knew the organizer. So it was Leslie Neely and Nicola Grand, the other two co-founders of ASJ. And I had been getting so many people offering things for that protest at Green Square Park, like water, food, security vests, like things to like help because it was summer, like it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I kept kind of funneling resources between people who knew them and them. And they're like, do you just want to like help us plan it? And that's actually, I mean, that's probably one of the few things I admittedly or openly say that I'm good at is just like organizing pieces, people, like logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a good political community grassroots organizer, right?
And that's so valuable though too. Yeah. I mean, I feel like even Adrienne Marie Brown talks about like her skill set being like organizing people and collecting, you know, people who do things.
Definitely. Because mm-hmm. it's like Stone Soup. Do you know this story? Did you ever read that story growing up?
I feel like I did. I feel like it was part of like my upbringing, but I can't like recall it.
Yeah, there's like a person who has like a stone and they're like, they go to another person. They're like, do you want to make stone soup? And they're like, yeah. He's like, cool, I have a stone. And the other person's like, cool, I have carrots. And then they go to like a third person. They're like, do you want to make stone soup? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he has celery. And then someone else has mm-hmm. an onion. And then really the first guy didn't have anything. So like that's kind of.
Right, but he had the stone.
He had the idea.
Exactly. Right. He had the spirit.
And the initiative.
Right. I'm like the guy with the stone.
Got it.
I'm like, hey, yes. I really don't have anything, but I feel like you have this gift.
You
and I
have
feel like
plenty.
If you attach it mm-hmm. with the celery, then we can make some really good fucking soup.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah. So let's make soup. I love soup, too.
So that was the start, you would say, of ASJ, was that protest at Green Square Park. In 2020.
So I would say it's two, there's like two distinctive moments okay. that kind of had to like happen together
mm-hmm.
to catalyze, I think, ASJ. And so it was that independent action of creating a date and time where we were going to hold space to talk about police reform, police brutality towards Black people. We were going to create that time and space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then simultaneously, there was about a group of about 50 leaders, 50 Black leaders from across Linn County. And so Supervisor Stacy Walker, who you might remember, mm-hmm. who was the first Black man elected to that position, he had convened this group of Black leaders, also independently recognizing this as, you know, a pivotal part in our nation's history, honestly, and mm-hmm. thinking about what action we could take here locally to, you know, to really leverage that moment. So he had all of these people, who some of them I knew, some of them I didn't, and then he invited the protest organizers, so Leslie, myself, and Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And we went around that room for about an hour and a half, and each of us named an issue that disproportionately impacts people of color in this community that we wanted to collectively focus on. So we had a list of about 50 different things that we could work on, and we spent time thinking about, okay, these two are kind of similar. Let's edit this one a little bit. Now let's prioritize them.
Mm.
And that's how we came up with our seven demands. So the protest was starting to be organized. This event happened, or this meeting happened, maybe like 3 days before the actual protest.
Mm.
So we talked about, like, they had invited us to say, okay, here's what we as leaders from this community who've been here for years working in everything from nonprofit to healthcare, to small business, to, you know, Rockwell. Like, it was an impressive mix of people, right? And so here's these folks, these old folks, right, that are saying, this is what, trust us, this is what our experience tells us. And then these young folks saying, okay, we've, like, rallied the attention of this moment and have the ability to combine these two pieces and amplify both of our individual work.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
it was pretty cool. It was pretty fucking cool. I've been in a lot of interesting rooms, like, you know, or like a lot of powerful rooms, but there was something about, like, even now I can feel the energy of that, of like anything felt possible because we had finally figured out not only how to combine ourselves here, but the energy of the world.
Ooh, powerful.
Yeah. Like tapping into resistance against oppression and like knowing that there were other people behind you to do that locally.
Right.
To do that like in your own backyard and say, like, city of Cedar Rapids, we need something different.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's another thing too. Like, there were also, like I said, it was a cross section of so many different parts of the city.
Yeah.
Including city council members. There was a city council member in that room too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that it took so much effort to be heard at that level when that invitation, right, was offered from the beginning. That was an open door. So, because we did have to protest a lot to be heard after we came up with that list. And you would think that if you had, again, a room of 50 people of color in this community, all in these different sectors of, you know, with all of these different professions, you would think you'd want to listen to what that room of people were saying.
Right.
They probably might have some good insight into what it is like to be a person of color in this community, right?
So can you explain to us how ASJ has been met by the community? And I guess by the community itself and other leaders, non-Black leaders.
Yeah. I think we had a ton of community support from like average humans, right? I mean, we had thousands of people at that first protest. I've never seen, the only times I've seen that amount of people together, especially in Cedar Rapids, is for like a
concert.
Cover band. Yeah.
Shout out to Mike Schulte.
I was going
to
say, hey, Mike.
So
God,
like,
bless the pork tornado.
Yeah, like pork tornado levels, like crowds.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
Is it ASJ or is it the pork tornadoes?
So I think there was a lot of local support because I genuinely do think that we live in a community that cares about or wants to care about one another.
Yeah.
I think the disconnect is not knowing how to care for one another.
Yeah.
Because there's like people carry a lot of shit with them. Everyone does.
Everybody does. Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, it's work. It's work to figure out how to be in community with people. And some people, for very good reasons, have limited capacities to do that work. Doesn't forgive or excuse the hurt that's caused, but it helps, I think,
put into context.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But that to me is more understandable. I think I have very strong opinions about elected officials. I ran for elected office for a reason. And so, you know, I think I would have held me to the same standard that I think I'm holding my elected officials, right?
Well, like, part of this conversation that we're having now goes back to what we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the issue of accountability,
mm-hmm.
right? That, like, we are paying our taxes, right?
Yes, we are.
Well, I do. You know,
yeah, we should.
we should be. The top 1% typically doesn't. So if you're listening, top 1%, which I doubt you do, pay your fucking taxes. Thank you. But there should be some accountability to the people who are, you know, paying for these jobs and paying, you know, for these quote unquote services
mm-hmm.
that the police offer.
Yeah.
I'm using those words very loosely. But there's a thing that's happening right now at state level,
mm-hmm.
which I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell us a little bit, or our listeners, what's going on right now?
Yeah. So I feel like ASJ and other civil rights and social justice groups were so impactful during the summer of 2020 that a lot of that legislation that we were able to figure out here locally, a lot of that local policy
is now being in
Cedar Rapids and other parts of the state as well, is now being attacked at the state level with state legislation, specifically trying to ban citizen review boards. So for folks that aren't familiar with the Citizen Review Board, it's basically an independent oversight body for law enforcement. So we have data from the ACLU that was collected in 2020 that shows that people of color are disproportionately policed for the same crimes as their white counterparts in Cedar Rapids, in this community.
This is local information. This isn't just like national information. No, this is like right here.
Where you live.
Correct. Right. And granted, that was in 2020. So again, I'm a data person, so I want to be clear. Like,
that was 4 years ago.
That was 4 years ago. But I think, you know, we can look at the things that have changed in 4 years, other metrics to this, and probably say that there is still an issue that's worth exploring. Mm-hmm. And if there's not, then, you know, show me the numbers, I suppose. But right now, the best numbers we have say that there is an issue. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, like, police reform is such a scary concept to a lot of people. But in my opinion, it's also making the police officers safer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's making the outcomes better for them, mm-hmm. too, by having, again, things like better training.
I think the arguments, you know, against the citizen review boards or against, you know, having any oversight for the police are like, we back the police. We're in support of them. And it's like, okay, yes, if you want to support them, give them more resources to do their jobs better, right, to the people that they do protect and serve. You know, we, right, should give them more resources to do a better job.
Right.
So what are they, what is the thought behind dismantling citizen review boards? And why would that be beneficial?
I feel like I'm the wrong person to ask because I feel like I'm biased about why it's being done. I mean, one of the reasons that's being given is that, you know, we shouldn't have regular people. It's so complex to be a police officer that we shouldn't have regular people being in charge of reviewing their actions because they want to understand all of the complexities that go into being a police officer.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, I think there's, again, a lot of space for, especially, like, I don't know, it's not like compassion training, but like something that is helping people understand the communities they serve, and probably even better, having people that live in the communities that they're serving in. Mm. Right? Because that's really what you're hoping to develop, I think, with, like, you know, this back the blue is like this concept that you are protecting everyone, but you need to do that, you need to actually take steps to understand the communities you're protecting. Sure. Right? You need to actually do that. You can't just talk about doing it.
Yeah. And I think there's this idea of trust too.
Absolutely.
Right? That, like, we want to be able to trust the police and to trust our politicians and whatnot, but there seems to be like they haven't done a good job of earning it or keeping that trust, mm-hmm. right? And that there has to be accountability, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do I go about saying this in the right way without being, you know, savage or problematic? I just... A position like a police officer that holds a badge and a gun, that has like the right to, you know,
do whatever the fuck they want
in order to do their job, you know, whatever that means, aren't necessarily doing a great job. You know, like, they are disproportionately policing people of color, right? So there's already a problem there, and it's like, I don't know why having accountability or making sure that they earn back the trust of the people that they're policing is such a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you saying that we don't need that?
Yeah, and I feel
Kim Reynolds.
I love that you just said Kim Reynolds, because I feel like when I talk to people one-on-one in Cedar Rapids, I do not agree 100% with everyone I talk to. But I can talk to that person and share different opinions, and they can share different opinions, and we can both leave that conversation not agreeing with the other's opinion and also learning something about the other's opinion.
Sure.
And so that, to me, like, I know this is like kind of a hippie thing to say, but it's like literally talking to people that think differently and are different to you from you. And just showing them respect, like, that's really the only foundational thing that you have to bring into that conversation.
Right. That's baseline.
Yeah. And if you do that and ask questions, I guarantee not only, again, will you think differently in probably a positive way, mm-hmm. Because at the very least, you're building understanding of an entity, an identity that you didn't have before. Mm-hmm. But also, a lot of the shit, like, that's why I'm staying in Iowa. Because I believe that we have the ability to change literally our culture by doing that. Mm. We have such friendly people. I've lived in so many places.
Well, like you said, people want to take care of each other. Yeah. Like you saw it in the derecho. Like you see it in like when there was the protest. Like there is a really like beautiful thing about Iowa and Cedar Rapids particularly that I've seen that people really do generally want to take care of each other and like show up for each other.
Yeah.
But I feel like our politics don't reflect that.
I feel like it's, I don't know. Like, that's why I said I love that you said Kim Reynolds, because I feel like it's just, it's a few people with it, like a few people playing party politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very disappointing because it like to see the separation it causes here. Right. Again, when I, like I said, I grew up here. It's like that. That's why I'm back here, is because we have a unique ability to like say hi to a stranger and not be either scared, right, or weirded out or uncomfortable, right? Like who hasn't said hi to a stranger this week? How many strangers have you said hi to is probably
a better question.
Yeah.
I mean,
too many to count.
Yeah.
So I guess like, I don't know, like I said, if you go to Chicago, if you go to New Hampshire, that's not happening. So if you have that foundation, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think that there should be police reform or there shouldn't. Talk to the person who thinks differently than you and learn something fucking new and have a better understanding for someone who's different than you.
Sure.
And that's how you like build consensus. That's how you find people who are different and in their own lanes, but are able to connect peacefully. Anyway, sorry, I think that got a little hippie, but like to me, it's connected. Mm-hmm. And I think there's such a bad rep for organizers that they're like angry or like militant. But like you referenced Adrian Marie Brown, like that pleasure activism, right? Like you have to make it enjoyable. You have to make it something that's building community, building like togetherness, right? Or people won't do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Right. Make your activism like look and feel good.
Yeah. You know?
Like this is the world that we want, right? As opposed to like burn everything down and be angry all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't just burn it down. You have to build something else.
Right. So what are you doing now?
I was going to say, speaking of building something new.
Go for it, Sarah.
You have just made a big life shift. You left your job with Linn County as our first, maybe only, sustainability manager.
They're doing interviews.
Okay. Well, we'll see what comes of it. Big shoes to fill, Linn County.
Literally and figuratively.
And then you went on an ancestral, you do have big feet.
They're not that. They're normal for my height.
Support your very tall body. And then you took an ancestral pilgrimage to our motherland of Africa.
I did.
What was that experience like?
Wait, which? Those are two experiences.
Well, yeah.
Right now, what? It's a prompt. I'm talking about Africa. Africa.
Okay.
You've been in Africa since January.
Yes.
So you left your job. Yes. And then you went to Africa.
And then I went to Africa. Yes. No, it was dope. I had my Dave Chappelle moment. I think every black person should. It's like the like
for the whites
for
who don't follow Dave.
Oh, I went to Ireland. Does that count?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, not at all.
No. Okay, got it.
No, it was good. It was good. I did get to go to some of the countries of my ancestry, so that was very enlightening.
So before you had like taken a 23andMe and like
yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, because that's, and I like hemmed and hawed. Sarah and I had many conversations about that.
I love it when women hem and haw.
I know. I'm so good at it.
That might be the most problematic thing I've said today.
Just today, though.
Just today. I mean, I don't keep track of yesterday. Yesterday has its own problems. You know what I mean?
That's a lot to have to keep track of.
Seriously, girl.
So I did that for better or for worse. And
like marriage.
Like marriage.
She's now married to the government with her DNA forever.
Oh my God, don't say that. No. I think honestly, one of the coolest things I did was ride a train across the Sahara Desert. So that wasn't in a country that I was from or my ancestors are from, but it was something that I've wanted to do for like a really long time.
That sounds like very Orient Express, you know, like very like murder on a train and like here's the true crime thing that we were looking for.
Yeah, except you're on top of the train. So you're like, jumping the train. So it's
like Boxcar Kids?
More like Boxcar Kids, except it's full of iron ore. So like you can't like have a refrigerator where it's cold. I feel like they do that in one of the
books.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so it's like the longest train in Africa, I think. And it moves iron ore from, the center part of the country to the coast.
Okay.
And there is a passenger car, but most people just like jump on top of it. And it's like people who work in the mine, like they'll take it from the coast to the mine and back.
Interesting.
And so it's totally legal. Like they wave at you. They don't like try and make you, you don't have to hide.
Did you have to run alongside the train and like jump on it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Did your long legs come in handy?
My friend from Scotland also came to join me and she is not as tall as me and she did fine.
Okay.
So I don't think so.
Okay. Good to know.
But it is scary when you're like trying to pee like while it's stopping and you're like, please train, don't run away without me.
Do you know what I'm also getting vibes of is like the Darjeeling Limited, that Wes Anderson film where they're like running slow motion trying to catch a train and they just drop their luggage and they're like, screw it.
Yeah, that could have been me, but it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to like bring enough water for like the whole 22 hours. You get like you're just dirty
in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, you're right. It's fucking hot. And then like at night, it's like really barreling down. You know what I mean? So then you're just like, oh my God, this thing really could dip over.
She's moving. Yeah.
And then when we got to the end, this like French guy told us like who to call. And so I like borrow someone's phone and call this. I think he was like Dutch. And he's like, all right, I'll come to you. And then like 15 minutes later, this like scruffy looking Dutch guy with like two equally scruffy looking dogs is like, all right, get in the back of the truck. And he like drives us to this like old sea resort thing that was like built for like a prince. And it's just this like beautiful, like picturesque seacoast villa.
Huh. Wow.
I know. So it was like a weird, like you start peeing between the train cars, hoping the train doesn't leave you, and you end just like on the coast.
Wow.
At a Dutch villa.
Huh.
Worth it.
Yeah, so that was probably a highlight of the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
that sounds
to, like,
fabulous.
Realize a bucket list item, you know? Yeah.
So then after you lived out a bucket list item, you came back to Cedar Rapids again.
I did.
And you started a business.
I did.
Tell us about it.
Entrepreneurship. We love to see
it. She does it all.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. No. I started a consulting business. So it's an equity-centered consulting business that works mostly with local governments and nonprofits to help them do sustainability work. So that's what I did in the past. I spent about 3.5 years building out the sustainability department. There's so much federal funding that's available through things like the Inflation Reduction Act. And there's so much good work that I feel like we could be doing in Iowa, in Linn County specifically. There's just a huge gap of people who either are aware of that funding or know how to be competitive to get it or manage those projects once they do get that funding. So that's really what our business is set out to do, Empowered Solutions Collective, is just, again, help small businesses, nonprofits, and local governments get that money into the state of Iowa.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It does, yeah, I guess, like, even having talking to, like, Sarah Driscoll about, like, grant writing and, you know, federal funding for things, like, there is the money there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the federal government is willing to spend the money to do the things, right?
Yeah.
But you just gotta apply for it. And you gotta be doing some work to, like, say, hey, over here, process. Please.
Right.
You got to be a squeaky wheel in some way, right?
You do. Yeah. And really, you know, the entities that typically get the money are set up to keep getting the money.
Sure.
And that's not really what the Inflation Reduction Act is aiming to do. Like, it's really trying to get to those smaller community-based groups, but it's a capacity issue. Sometimes it's a skill level issue. Like applying for a federal grant and then also like adhering to those guidelines is not easy. It's not intuitive. It's regulated significantly.
It's for like people who have doctorates to like get those things.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And it just like so Samara. Happens.
Just so happens. You see what I was doing there. PhD.
It is fresh. It is shiny.
The ink has not even dried yet.
I know. I'm going to walk around with my funny hat once they give it to me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
Make that like a look.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with your tribal African.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Yes. It's called a Tam, the hat. Did you know that?
Oh, my God. That's your name.
Isn't that kind of wild?
And then can you get a Tam Tam?
I know. And then there's also a drink called a Tam Tam. There's like Tam Tams everywhere in Africa. It was crazy.
Wow. That's just so fun to say, too.
I know. But yeah, so we've done projects with Iowa City, with Lynn Clean Energy District, with the Academy for Scholastic and Personal Success. We're going to do a garden and nutrition program for them this summer to address issues to food access, land access. Mm. Yeah, so.
Right, because Kim Reynolds like didn't take the benefits from the federal government to have food for kids over the summer, right?
She wants kids to fight obesity.
Right. We can't have kids starving. Getting fat. Yeah. So no food.
Yep. No one eats. We'll stop obesity in its tracks.
Right. Anyway.
So what are you guys doing for Earth Month?
Sarah?
Oh, Jesus. Well, I feel like in the past couple years, I've really come to have a newfound appreciation for Earth.
Oh, that's good.
Especially as my indoor garden grows.
Mm-hmm.
So I am using my sustainable water bottle.
Look at that.
ASMR for our listeners.
Yes.
I have stopped buying bottled water at the grocery store after just a couple years of friendship with Tamara. She finally wore me down and guilted me into it. I am going to be making my own fertilizer for my plants this year.
Ooh.
Out of all natural ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Like eggshells?
Yes. I've been saving my eggshells for like 8 months now. It's getting really disgusting. I need to grind them up. But also like blood meal, some other natural additives that I have, like worm casings and all that.
Castings,
whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Castings.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle would be so proud of you.
Shout out to Kyle. Isn't that what'd you say?
I said Gaia would be so
Gaia,
proud.
Mother Gaia. Absolutely. I was like
what?
I was like, did I miss that? Who's
no,
Kyle?
Yeah.
Who's Kyle?
Shout out to Kyle. Yes.
I'll try to enunciate.
Kyle will be so happy.
I have a hearing problem. Part of my early onset dementia.
I love it.
I was wondering why we were revisiting Kyle.
And Sarah was like annoyed by it too. Like,
I was.
Shout out to Kyle.
She's like, you're bringing up Kyle again. God damn it, Tamara.
I don't mean to.
I need to make that a t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Shout out to
God. Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, never mind.
That's cool, Gaia. Though.
Gaia.
Gaia.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, what are you doing for Earth Month, Caleb?
Well, I already have a reusable water bottle that I use, so
yeah,
I've been
do.
Doing the work.
I'm a new ally, okay? We all have to start somewhere.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know where to start. I feel like, I don't know. Maybe you could give me a suggestion, Tamara.
Well, this Earth Month, I'm planting fruit trees.
Oh.
Where?
So you, at my house.
Yeah.
So you bought a house recently,
mm-hmm.
right?
I did buy a house. Yes, I have a house.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yep.
So you might consider planting a fruit tree.
Got it.
What fruit trees are you planting?
I'm planting a peach tree, a pear tree and a cherry tree, peach, pear, and cherry, and then a service berry bush.
Mm, it's good to diversify our plants so that when disease strikes, it doesn't take out the whole forest.
That's true.
Thank you for that PSA. I appreciate it so much. And so does Kyle. Shout out to Kyle.
I just learned that fun fact from Kyle. Thanks, Kyle.
I want that to be the thing we say whenever we mishear something.
Yeah. Shout out to Kyle. Like, oh,
I thought you said something. Shout out to Kyle.
Yes. Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay, sure.
What do you wish more people did?
Is this the call to action?
Yes.
Question?
Yeah.
Just anything or
anything and everything.
In their community?
It's just like, what do you think is like public enemy number one? You know, like, what do you wish more people were doing right now today?
That's a good question. Okay, so I meet a lot of people who have these like really cool ideas. Mm. Excuse me.
There's a lot of creative people out there.
There's a lot of creative
especially
people.
Especially here.
Especially here. And they come to me and they're like, I want to start a nonprofit, or I want to run for office, or I want to do some big thing. And then usually I ask them, especially, let's use a nonprofit example. So I'm like, okay, what are the nonprofits? Like, here's your idea. What are the five nonprofits that are closest to your idea that work locally? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And so I use that example because I feel like, to your question, like, what is the thing that people could do to help someone that is based in your idea and your interest, right? So if you are someone who's passionate about doing an art program for young people, there's probably an entity that's already doing that.
That, yeah.
And so how can you enhance that? How can you do what they've started a structure for?
How can you lend your creative idea to the thing that's already being done?
Exactly.
That probably already has funding.
Right.
Or money to support this.
So maybe they're not reaching a certain neighborhood that you'd want them to reach.
Right.
So then how can you take that model and expand it or change it to reach that neighborhood?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that there's never like a, it's never worthwhile to start a business. It's never worthwhile to start a nonprofit. That would be really hypocritical for me to be saying that. But I think what I would tell my younger self is probably that, like, what organization is doing what you already want to do, and how can you make that better?
Sure. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then plant a tree.
Yeah. Plant a tree. God damn it. Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting when they like start to fruit. Like,
it is.
They grow like peaches grow really good here now. Yay, climate change.
Yep. I do love me a peach.
Yeah.
I love peaches. They're succulent.
Oh, they're sweet and like juicy.
And like, I always think about Call Me By Your Name, which is always just so
What's that?
What? That's so homophobic.
Yeah, kind of, Sarah.
Well, you know, okay. I can't stand
the gays. I know.
Have you seen American Fiction yet?
No.
Oh, so you can't stand the blacks.
Oh!
How convenient.
Wait, did you see it? Did you watch it all?
We talked about that. She
tried.
Did you finish it?
She tried.
No, I haven't.
She couldn't even watch
yet.
It.
Wait, why couldn't you finish it?
Because I fell asleep. Listen, I go to bed at like 10 o'clock at night. At the latest. And maybe some... we can talk...
Okay. Oh, shit. I gotta get to work.
Oh, okay.
I gotta go.
Well.
Do you wanna, like do a wrap-up? Or we're just saying deuces?
I just wanna say... we love it when people that we love come to our show.
We really do.
It's fun. This wasn't the most focused convo we've ever had in our entire lives. But I feel like it gave people an accessible view and humanizing view to you.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's valuable.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I'm not a person who goes down one path. So I think that's probably like makes sense that it wasn't the most directed or focused.
None of
it's
us
very
are.
On brand.
Conversation.
Yes.
It's very on brand for
Logan's going to have a great time editing this.
I think this is your best episode ever.
Oh wow.
I think
is it because of the Kyle thing?
That's maybe.
That's the highlight for sure.
Hills and valleys. You know?
Do you have 2 seconds?
Are you already late? I do.
I will be, though, but three seconds, because I want to say thank you, too.
Okay. What would you say to people wanting to leave our community? Because one thing I'm really passionate about is people staying here so they can fix our shit here.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, I would say don't. I totally get it. There is, like, this huge desire to leave. I felt that, too. But like every problem that we have here almost certainly exists in wherever place you want to go. The only difference is you are probably less equipped to do anything about it. So you can go and experience that and get frustrated by that and then come back, right? And there is value in doing that. Or if you already feel like you know that, or listening to Sarah, listening to me, like, stay here and make it fucking better here.
Yeah.
Like, we really can build something beautiful here. And, like, we are so blessed to have so many resources, our people, the strongest one among them, to create something that the rest of the country, the rest of the world will envy. I have no doubt about that. So thank you so much for letting me be on this. It was so much fun.
You are so welcome, Tamara.
It was a joy and a pleasure that we felt deep inside.
Oh.
Oh.
Our
so
souls.
With that, take us out, Kanye.
We love you. Thank you for listening. Please like and share and review this podcast. We had a couple more ratings. I noticed. Ooh. And I appreciate it. So love you and keep it up, bitches.
Thanks, Kyle.
Stay bitchin'.